to bring in a little list of Shinui Kona just so people can get ahead, especially for the time that I'm away. Regarding Dalet Vehei, just one more, two more Ha'aros, or three more Ha'aros. Firstly, the Tosfos Rid. Again, we've been trying to look at cases in Dalet Vehei to try to define the connection to Geneva on the one hand and to Hamada Bedin on the other. How central is the act of Tzvicha Mechira itself, or is it really just an extension of the Geneva or the Kefal, etc.? So that's we've seen a few radical things, including Rabbi Yerkam and possibly the Raibid regarding Torin Tanis Ganav, other things of that sort. Dalet Vehei when it seems like it should be too late, or Dalet Vehei when it seems like it should be too early. Both of which might be explained better if the Mechayiv isn't so much the act of Dalet Vehei, but Dalet Vehei, Tzvicha Mechira, but the Tzvicha Mechira is a Tanai of some sort. So just along those lines, one should also note the discussion of the Tosfos Rid later on Ayin Tes Amud Aleph, on the Mishnah that we've discussed a number of times, the Mishnah which is the Mokar for Kinyan, when it comes to Geneva. And so the Mishnah there says, as we already know, that if you do the Geneva and if you do the Tzvicha Mechira in Rishus of the Nignav, of the Bailim, then under those circumstances you will not be chayiv for Geneva. But that's the Mishnah. Gonav Rishusa Bailim v'tavach ha-machar chutz mirshusam o shegonav chutz mirshusam v'tavach ha-machar b'rishusam o shegonav v'tavach ha-machar chutz mirshusam v'shan t'shlumi arba v'chamisha. Aval gonav v'tavach ha-machar b'rishusam potur. Then the Mishnah continues, ha-yemoshko v'yotze meis b'rishusa Bailim potur ha-gviwa o'tzim b'rishusa Bailim meis chayiv. So one of the cases of the Mishnah is that gonav tavach ha-machar b'rishusam is potur. If everything takes place inside the rishus of the nignav, then you're potter. Okay. But how you moshka v'yotze u'meis b'rishus abaylim potter b'gbiu o'tziu b'rishus baylim meis chayiv. If you do a meshicha subsequent to that, you're going to be chayiv. What does the chayiv refer to? Kefel or also dalet v'hei? Now, you did the tzvicha mechira in the rishus of the in the rishus of the nignav. Then, subsequent to that, you did a meshicha, or you did it through someone else, right? Otsim rishus abaylim, or nasul b'choras b'no, the balchovo, and they were moshech for you. But at the time you did the actual tvicha mechira, you were rishus abaylim. So the Tosfos Rid has two deos on that question. He says, "Ala b'dayti lefarish pater mitashlumi dalet vehei." That when the Gemara says "Kadav tavach ha-machar b'rishusan," it will be pater, and then the Gemara says, "But if there's a meshicha afterwards, that you'll be chayim." That refers to kefel, but dalet vehei you would be pater. De'beidna, the tavach ha-machar akati lo ganav, lo ganav, de'habrishus b'ilam avakoy. After all, at the time of the tzvicha mechira, He was in the Rishus HaBailim. It's interesting that the language of the Tosfos Rid is Akati Lo Ganav, or Akati Lo Ganav, the Rishus Bailim Avakar. There may be two issues here. One issue is, how significant is, or what is the problem of Rishus HaBailim? That's, what is the problem of lack of Kenyan? And that goes on, this Tosfos Rid is relevant, maybe, for that list when we've already went through that a few times, but especially on Samech Hayim and Aleph in the beginning, Samech Dalet Vehei, Samech Hayim and Aleph, we talked about Gago, Chatzero, Karfifo, we talked about the role of Kinyan. So this is an interesting question, right? How do we look at a Geneva that begins without a Kinyan and then continues and there is a Kinyan? Right? When does the Geneva really start? Is Kinyan so central to the definition that there's no Geneva at all until the point of Kinyan? Could be other Nafka Mina, Kama Levid Rabba Mine type issues, etc. If you can cut it off, you know, earlier, you know, before you get to the point of Mashiach, there's no Kinyan, and therefore there's no Kefel, or there's no completion of the Gneva, or there's no Tchilas HaGneva. Or maybe there really is not only Tchilas HaGneva, but let's say Gezela, or even Gneva, but just not Mechayev of Kefel. That's one issue. The second issue is whether or not Tzvicha Mechira can take place at a time when there's an obstacle to the Chiyuv. Obviously, the more you consider, those are two separate issues. But if the two come together, then it's even a more serious issue. In other words, if you believe, which is what the Tosfos Rid's first assumption certainly is, that you're not a ganav at all, there's no geneva whatsoever until the point of kinyan, so then you have a tvicho mechira without a geneva, or before the geneva. So the Tosfos Rid said, my first assumption was that will not work. That's not going to be a proper geneva, and that's not going to be a proper tvicho mechira. Achrei chein his bonanti, she'en lefaresh ela kagon, she'meis sham v'lo moshko, halokeach b'chutz. No, that the Mishnah means only in a case where it never leaves the reshus of the violin. She'mesh moshko halokeach b'chutz, avabisha b'toch reshus ha'bailim mochar, or tavach, b'mshichosa shalokeach mischayev aganav tashlumei dalad v'hei kidabi'ina l'meimar. And he says that's the simple reading of the Mishnah. Nasul b'choras b'no l'balchov l'shamachinim l'shol l'nosei sachar hayem boshcha v'yotzei umeis. Right? Mishus habaylim u'pater igbiyo shotzim mishus habaylim meis chayim. Pirsha ganav nasno b'mshichasa sh'asa nas chayim ganav. V'ho chayim diktani hay kidinei v'hay kidinei. And then he keeps repeating that. Meaning, since it works for keifa, why shouldn't it work for dal v'hei? She'ein lo chiluk bein tashlumei dal v'hei l'tashlumei keifa. Ki heichad b'tashlumei keifa chayim haganav b'mishichasa shal shomer shu shlucho hachanam b'mishichasa lokeach miskayv haganav dal v'hei. The ein lechalik b'neim dechi hecha de bigneva haganav hitchil ushliach gamar v'chayev haganav hachanami b'mechira haganav hitchil u'machar lo v'halokeach gamar k'shemashach. Except they're very, very different, obviously, because as we know, the kefel and the maisa gneva are boin kiachas. It's one maisa. So to say that this is a delayed maisa gneva, which is completed by the shomer or by the balchov, whatever the case may be. So for the same reason that it's a gneva, it's mechayev kefel. But the tvicho mechira actually took place bizman. That there was either ptur, or maybe even more than ptur, maybe even no maisa gneva, or for that matter, no mechayev of kefel. Even maybe that would be enough too. Get to that in just a second. To say that that's the same is difficult. So I say I think there are two issues here. To make the Tosfos Rid most palatable, I think if one were to say that the requirement of kinyan is more peripheral. Now, if it was just an obstacle for kefel, but wasn't, for example, it wasn't part of the definition of gneva or gezela per se, that would be the easiest way to explain the Tosfos Rid. And then, on the contrary, you could actually say that that the comparison to kefel and tvicho mechira is not bad at all. Because it really was a gneva, which should trigger kefel, but it doesn't trigger kefel because of special halacha that you require that it be outside of reshus habaylim, that there be hotsam reshus habaylim, if you want to say it that way. And yet, that can be accomplished at a later phase, at a later stage. So too, the tzvicha mechira is being held in abeyance, just like the maisa gneva is being held in abeyance in terms of being mechayev kefel, and it all comes when you remove the chayfetz from the rishus. If you were to take a view that that the purpose of the kinyan, or that the kinyan's significance lies only in terms of kefel, or if you wanted to go a notch below that, it's in terms of it's an obstacle for the chiyuvim of gneva, but not for the maisa gneva or the shem ganav, then maybe that would be one way to explain this halacha. The other way to explain it would be if we were to say, and I think you might really require both elements, if you don't want to go so extreme on the first, then you'll need both elements, and that is that Tvicho Mechira is like Kefel in a different respect. And that is that even though it looks like a separate Mechayev, as opposed to Kefel, which is part and parcel of the Maisa Geneva, that is just misleading. That is a perception that doesn't actually reflect the halachic reality. The real halachic reality is that tzvicha mechira is a tnai, but the gneva is mechayiv. So just as the gneva is mechayiv kefel, and it can be an elongated, you know, gneva, so too it can be mechayiv dalad vehei. In this sense, the role of tzvicha mechira would be similar in one respect, except again you have to weigh it again to the Ravid's toin tanis ganav, you know, lifnei shvua. Except again, in the case of the Ravid, we could ask the question, is this truly about Tvicha Mechira or fully about Tvicha Mechira? Or maybe it also has to do with the fact that while you need a Shvua for Toin Tanis Ganav, but the at least Tchilas Gneva comes, you know, b'Toin Tanis Ganav, even beforehand, especially in light of the Or Sameach and some of the other formulations that we saw, where the Shvua may not be part of the definition, or at least so crucial to the definition. But again, that's an issue there. This is an issue here in terms of the role of kinyan. But in both cases, it seems like you have a tvicha and mechira before you have a geneva. In that sense, there is a strong similarity between them. The strong equation between kefel and dalad vehei that the Tosfos Reed keeps accenting then is either to demonstrate that the Kenyan obstacle is a more peripheral one. It doesn't sound that way in the Tosfos Reed, but maybe. Or he's really comparing Kefel and Tvicha Mechira of Dalad Behei in the sense that both of them really flow from the Maisa Gneva. Either way, this is a very important Tosfos Reed. Okay. That's one issue that I wanted to mention. Having said that, so let me just speak about the Rashi that I want to mention also in Samaches Amud Beis, which I think is also very, very important. Oh, okay, I forgot to bring the Pnei Yoshua. This halacha of im ein kefel ein dalad vehei. So how do we understand that halacha? As we've already talked about it a little bit, it could be understood in several ways. One is it's a gzeres hakasuv that has to do with the kiyum atashlumin. You're never going to have dalad vehei unless it's really dalad vehei. So for some technical reason, you don't have kefel, then you're not going to have dalad vehei either. But not because either there was a common denominator between them, and therefore if you don't have one, you're not going to have the other, for the same reason, in other words. Or because tvicha mechira is, and dalad vehei is an extension of kefel, and it needs therefore the foundation of kefel. And certainly not for a third reason, and that might be that tvicha mechira to be mechayev dalad vehei has to be mechayev its own kefel. Okay, you don't have to say either of those three. You could just say what I just said, which is there's exeris akasa of the Torah says dalad vehei. It's only dalad vehei if it's dalad vehei. If it's lemaisa, not going to be dalad vehei. That's the end of the story. But there is no other connection between kefel and dalad vehei. That's one option. If we do say one of these other three, which is the connection between kefel and dalad vehei has to do with a common denominator. So if you say that, so then if it's, you know, if for purely technical reasons you could explain why there's no kefel, yet it doesn't apply to dalad vehei, then it shouldn't be a problem. If you want to go further and say dalad vehei is based on the extension of kefel, it becomes more difficult to separate the two, obviously. If you want to go one step beyond that and say that every tvicha mechira is like a new gneva, kefel, and dalad vehei, and that's what it is, that's how it's defined, then it really seems impossible to have a dalad vehei in a circumstance where there's no kefel. Okay, so these, I think, are four ways that one can understand this halacha of ein kefel, ein dalad vehei, and we'd have to look in each case, again, things like kamla b'drava mine, other things as well. So I think this is highlighted, partially at least, by the interesting discussion about Rashi on Samaches Omid Beis, which I asked you to look at. Elichai, did you get a chance?
Yeah. Sounds very apparent.
First of all, the Gemara there says, the Gemara says halacha. If it's gana v'hiktish v'achakach tava chamachar, you're not chayiv for dalad vehei.
Yes, kefal.
To the you're not chayiv.
And kefal to the bayim.
The archive kefal abaylin, so it would appear. Well, that's okay.
That's Rashi. Okay, fine.
Yeah. So, yes, how does Rashi say it?
Why says yes kefal, right? Why says yes kefal, right?
The Gemara doesn't say explicitly. Gemara says, "Ganav hikdash v'akach tavak mishal." Yeah, mishal tashum kefal v'ena mishal tashum arba chamish. Correct. You pay kefal to the Bible. Yeah, correct. V'ena mishal im tashum arba v'chamish. So how does Rashi explain it?
Rashi says, so it sounds like some return to follow, but it doesn't really work out, right? He says, the haki tava, the hekdish tava, v're'eyu al-rachmanu yishal yishnayim l're'eyu v'lo l'hekdish. Right, so he's pointing right. V'keva, the patri, v'keva, tulo mechai v'tficho mechira, the tashlumi arba v'chamisha al-rachmanu v'lo shlosh v'arba. V'im delays kefa, v'yayu,
yeah, so Rashi says that the reason that Hekdesh doesn't have Dalet Vehei is because since there's Re'ehu that excludes Hekdesh from Kefel, something we already discussed, so therefore you're not going to have the full complement of Dalet Vehei. That's Rashi. What's the problem with that?
That's a case where you steal from Hekdesh, so you're puttering Kefel from Hekdesh, and you're puttering Dalet Vehei. Here you're having Kefel, just to the Bible. There is a Chiyuv Kefel.
Just not to the Bible.
Just
not to the Hekdesh. Correct. So that's the problem. That's the question that the Pnei Yehoshua asks. Actually, Pnei Yehoshua asks two opposite questions on this Rashi. Okay, one is this question. He says, what do you mean there's no Kefel? There is Kefel in this case. That's one question. Now that question really assumes that there is some sort of continuity, and this is an interesting question in its own right, maybe, that there is some sort of continuity between the first part of the Geneva and the second part of the Geneva, let's say. The Geneva, in other words, and the Kefel, and what takes place versus Hekdesh. So the Pnei Yehoshua is saying, what do you mean there's no Kefel? There's a Kefel, and therefore there should be Dalet Vehei. The Dalet Vehei is going to go to the Hekdesh, and the Kefel is going to go to the Bialim. So what? You should be able to be mitzarif these two things. That's what the Pnei Yehoshua is assuming in his question. But he asks another question. You see the other question? The opposite question. The opposite question. That is, he says, forget about the kefel, where even if there was a chiyuv kefel to Hekdesh, there wouldn't be a chiyuv kefel to Hekdesh in this case, because vis-a-vis Hekdesh, this is Gzela, not Geneva. Because you start off, in other words, you did an act of Geneva, you took the object, right? Yechayev Karen the Kefel. Now the Chepetz belongs to Hekdesh, and now you do Tzvicha Mechira. So in a regular case, when you do Tzvicha Mechira after a Gneva, it's in the context, there's one Nigna, the same Nignav, and you're continuing to attack this poor Nignav. So we view that as a context of Gneva. But if there was a Gneva, and then it became Hekdesh, and then you did Tzvicha Mechira, maybe we shouldn't continue, that should not be viewed as a continuation of the Geneva, that should be viewed as an act of Gezela. In which case, there should be no Kefel, even if there wasn't a problem of Re'eyu. That's a Pnei Yehoshua's question. Okay. I should just get it all on record. What's a Pnei Yeshua's answer or his alternative? He doesn't answer for Rashi. He leaves the Rashi with Tzarkiyah.
He gives the fundamental answer. Since by Re'ehu, Lo Shal Hekdesh, you have Tzarkiyah, it shows you that in general, Absurd Al Vehei.
It starts off with Kefel again.
Right.
Since Re'ehu excludes Kefel if you were to steal directly from Hekdesh,
right.
And there wouldn't be Dalet Vehei in that case.
So it shows that Dalet Vehei is excluded entirely from, is only relevant by Behema Shel Hekdesh.
Yeah. And what do you think about, that's his suggestion. I don't know if that's really, he says maybe that's what Rashi meant. Okay, it doesn't sound like that's what Rashi meant, but let's just say, let's say that it's the Pnei Yehoshua's suggestion of how to read the halacha.
Rashi does say, he pater le mikhefa, right, so he's referring back to that Gemara, not this Gemara.
I mean,
is that right?
Right. Okay. I don't know if you like it or Rashi, fine, but it's not the simple reading of Rashi, for sure. Okay, so that in itself is a very interesting answer. What's interesting about the Pnei Yehoshua's answer, let's just get to that for just a second, is that if you were going to say what the Pnei Yehoshua says already, one could have gone a step, just one step further, maybe, and said, instead of saying Re'ehu excludes Kefel generally, and therefore since normally you require for Dalet V'hei a foundation of Kefel, and you won't have it, therefore, you know, Hekdesh is Mufka from Dalet V'hei, one perhaps could have said more simply that the common denominator of Dalet V'hei and Kefel is at work in Re'ehu. In other words, Re'ehu V'lo Shel Hekdesh teaches that there's no Kefel, and for the very same reason, you know, if Dalet V'hei is one step beyond Kefel, so whatever applies to Kefel applies to Re'ehu. That's not what Pnei Yeshua says. Well, Pnei Yeshua leaves himself open to a bit of a, you know, a vulnerable, is a bit vulnerable, because it sounds like he's still saying that the reason that there is no Dalet V'hei is because there generally is no Kefel. But if he's not saying that, you know, the same criteria apply, and he's only saying that Lemaisa, you have to have the four or five, it can't be two or three, then really what's so terrible about saying, well, you know, when you have two or three, you have two or three and you don't implement it. When you have four or five, then you have four or five. Thank you very much. Right? So that is still just a little bit strange. Anyways, one could have said in the Gemara, based on the Pnei Yeshua, but not what the Pnei Yeshua says, what I'm saying, which is Re'ehu excludes Kefel. So for sure, Re'ehu excludes the more exclusive Dalet V'hei. But he doesn't say that. He says something close to that. He's based on the Psukim, it's Mufka, because it doesn't have Kefel in a general way, and therefore it's Mufka in all cases. But as I said, that leaves him open to a vulnerability. Now, as I said, there is a bit of a stira in the Pnei Yeshua, which is, it's not my job to answer stiras in the Pnei Yeshua, but it's just at least worth pointing out, as I said, because the two questions that he asks against Rashi both relate to a very important issue, but both seem to go in a different direction. Maybe his question is kind of a mimanavshach. In other words, one question is, we don't really care that the kefil belongs to Hejo. The fact is that there's a kefil, meaning there is continuity between the original Geneva and the act of Tzvicha Mechira. The second question is, well, we're talking about Hekdesh now, a totally different bialim. So if it's a different bialim, then it's Gzela, not Geneva. I'm not saying that you can't get out of this apparent stira, but on the surface, that these two questions operate on two opposite assumptions, initially at least. And that is, when you have two different bialim in Geneva and in Tzvicha Mechira, right, is that a problem or not? Is there continuity or not? Right. So if you want to say the question is a mimanavshach, if there's continuity, then there shouldn't be a problem here. And if there's no continuity, then there's a bigger problem here. And that is, it's gzela, not geneva. Okay. Either way, one could have answered for Rashi that there is continuity, and therefore it is considered to be an act of Gneva. However, there's still a problem of Gimel V'Dalet and not Dalet V'hei for a very simple reason. If you take the most practical explanation, right, the fact is you're not going to be paying the same person Dalet V'hei. You're going to be paying 2-to-1 person and Dalet V'hei and 3 and 4 to the other. It seems that the Pnei Yeshua understood this halacha in Rashi and in the Gemara, in Ein Kefel, Ein Dalet V'hei, to be a halacha in the Gavra, in the Ganav, not to be a halacha in the actual Tashlumin. Okay, these are important issues. Okay, so just trying to bring them out. Okay. Having said all of that, so maybe there's a bigger point in Rashi. So that could be the answer for Rashi. There is continuity, therefore it is Geneva, but you're still lacking in the Kiyama Tashlumin Mitzad HaGanav, even if you're not lacking, I'm sorry, Mitzad HaNignav, even if you're not lacking Mitzad HaGanav. That could be the answer for Rashi. Or the answer for Rashi could be something else, and that is that every act of Tevicho Mechira requires that it be built on Kefel, in one of the three ways that I just mentioned before. Again, in the most extreme way, that every Tzvicha Mechira, by virtue of its link to the previous Gneva, be itself a second Gneva, which includes a Kefel as well as a dalad behe. That's the true or most extreme meaning of imein kefel in dalad behe, because part of the chi of dalad behe isn't just a previous kefel, but a present kefel as well. And that you don't have ever in hekdesh. That certainly would work well. Or, even if the point is that you require the foundation of kefel, right? Not that the tvicha mechira itself be mechayev kefel, but it be working off of a previous kefel, even then one might say, a previous kefel to this bialim. It isn't just about tashlumin. Since it isn't just about tashlumin, the answer that we said before, which is, the important thing is that the ganav is paying that amount, not that the recipient is receiving that amount, may not be enough of an answer. Okay. So basically, just to sum up, the Gemara has this halacha that there is no tvicha mechira in the context of hekdesh. The question is why. One answer, simple answer, could be that just as re'ehu excludes kefel, re'ehu excludes dalad behe in its own right, or as a kol shekein, as a common denominator. And that's one way to look at the relationship between kefel and dalad behe. Dalad behe is a more specialized kefel. The dinim of kefel are certainly going to apply to dalad behe, and maybe even more than that. Okay, that's one approach. The second approach is a Pnei Yoshua, who actually doesn't go that far, and I think leaves himself therefore vulnerable to some criticism. Pnei Yoshua's idea is that, well, in the Parsha, since Re'ehu isn't part and parcel of a regular Tzvicha Mechira when you initially steal it from Hekdesh, so there is no Dalad Behei Behekdesh. Okay, that I think is so obvious, but that's the Pnei Yoshua's idea. Then moving past that to discuss the two answers of the two questions that the Pnei Yoshua raises against Rashi. Number one, if you have a tvicho mechira lehekdesh after a gneva from a hedyot, maybe that should be gzela, or the opposite way, maybe the kefel should count and it shouldn't be a problem of imein kefel im dalad behe. To answer those questions, we're suggesting several ideas. Either that this halacha of ein kefel, ein dalad behe could be an issue, or one of the issues could be whether it depends on the recipient or on the payer, on the ganav or on the nignav. I mean, that's part of the discussion between the Pnei Yoshua and Rashi. And Rashi will hold that it depends on the recipient, not on the payer. Or that the idea might be that that you have to have a foundation of kefel in order to be considered dalad behe, and that has to be for the same victim, even if it isn't a din in tashlumin, but it is a din in the extension, how we view the extension of dalad behe. Or even a more ambitious idea, and that is that tvicha u'mechira is its own gneva kefel dalad behe, and that's the real meaning of imein kefel ein dalad behe, because it's a component in the tvicha mechira itself. And if that's true, then of course every situation of dalad behe, every situation of tvicha mechira lehekdesh, is lacking the reehu, the part of kefel. Okay. Another question involved in all of this is whether or not there is indeed linkage between the Genevas Hedjot and the Genevas Hekdesh. Yeah?
If it's separate, why does it need the Kefal?
If what's separate?
If the Tzvicha and Mechira are this whole separate entity, what's the requirement for the Kefal then? The previous meaning?
I mean, according to this third view that I'm suggesting, which is that you do everything.
You think seemingly more separate, you make it, the less it relies on.
Well, we're saying to be a Tzvicha or Mechira, not only does it have to work off of a previous Kefal, it has to be an independent Gneva, Kefel, Tvicha, Mechira. You just have to do them all in one shot. That's part of the definition of Tvicha, Mechira.
Not the independence of Tvicha, Mechira, but the independence of
The Tvicha, Mechira is, as a second stage, it has to be a standalone, given the context, of course, because otherwise Pnei Yoshua is correct, it would be exhaled. In other words, if there was no previous Gneva, then you just walked into somebody's, just in a Tzvicha Mechira, that would be Gzela. But given the context, the framework of Gneva, Tzricha Mechira itself is a Gneva Kefal v'chiyuv Dalad v'hei. That's what Dalad v'hei is. It is a stage two Gneva Kefal plus. So that might be the pshat of Dalad v'hei, in which case that would certainly make sense according to Rashi. So I think you could explain Rashi according to two or three ways, but three ways essentially I'm suggesting. But either way, the Pnei Yeshua's question, it really highlights, again, very strongly, I think, this question of the relationship between Kefel and Dalad v'hei, and what Dalad v'hei, what Dalad v'hei is all about. I should just mention, just in this context, just quickly, that this is relevant also, and part of it at least is relevant, to the issue of Kansar Karen Labailim. By the way, this idea that, I should just add one more thing, this idea that Kefel is created by the Tvicho Mechira is something for which there is ample precedent, and we're going to discuss it more fully in a couple of minutes, but in the Sugya itself, namely, this idea that in addition to the Kefel that is generated by the original Gneva, that in phase two you can repeat, or you may have to repeat, or at least sometimes you can repeat, the Gneva through an act that otherwise wouldn't even qualify as Gneva, never mind Kefel. Where do we see that idea? Avi?
I'm not fully sure. Is your question right? Sorry.
This idea, which I'm suggesting is the most extreme way of looking at Tzricha Mechira, which is that it is in its own right a second stage Gneva, Kefel, and then the rest, Dalad v'hei, this idea that you can have an act which doesn't look at all like Gneva, right, but which on the contrary, out of context, would be gzela, but in the framework of a gneva, right, would qualify as a separate mechayev of not only gimel the dalet extra, but the kefal as well, as it has some precedent. Where else do we see it? Not really. I mean, that's not. Tantan's gone. There's no evidence, at least, that. Where is there evidence that a maisa that you do, which otherwise wouldn't qualify as gneva at all, but might generate, might be Gneva, even Linyan Kefel. Not Mukrak, but...
Tavrashasya?
Exactly, according to?
Rambam.
Exactly. Tavrashasya, according to the Rambam. Because the Rambam holds that, we'll have to explain it, but Reb Chaim understood it this way, certainly. The Rambam held, where in Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Dalid, Jakey, that what? If it's itbar mimela,
and you pay kidemikar.
You pay kidemikar, kishas hagneva. We'll have to discuss that. But if it's tabra vishasya, the Rambam says, then you pay not only the karen, according to the later stage, right, which is the din of tabra vishasya, that's Rabba's halacha, but you will also pay tashlume kefel v'dalet hay, according to the later stage. You have it open, David, I see? Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Dalet. Gneva.
Yeah. Gneva v'hema okli v'kiyotze v'hen v'shas ha-gneva ha-yashava arba v'akhsha v'shas ha-nida v'din shava shnayim v'shalim karen k'shas ha-gneva v'tashlumei k'efel arba v'chamish k'shas ha-mda v'din ha-yashava v'shas ha-gneva shnayim v'shas ha-mida v'din arba Meshachat Umachar or Shavar Akleo of them Meshalim Tashlum Kefal or above Kamisha Kashas on the Bedin in Misa Behema, Misa Behema O Avad Hakli Meilov Meshalim Tashlum Kefal Kashas Haganeva.
Oh, so the Rambam is Mechalek between Tabra Vishasya and Itbar Mimelek, and we'll discuss it more fully soon. But he's Mechalek in terms of whether the Kefal is Kashas Hamad Bedin or Kashas Haganeva. Right, he says itbar mimela kishas agneva tavra v'shasya kishas hamada bedin. That is Shita Saramba. But there might be more than one explanation for that. We'll get back to it. But at least Reb Chaim understood that the reason for that is that is because tavra v'shasya is its own gneva leinyan kefa. That's Reb Chaim's explanation, and therefore there is a new. It is Kain Shaganav really. But the Kain Shaganav is kashas amada bedin. Just like it is for the Karen. So if you can say that for Tavra Vishasya, is it possible to say something like that for Tzvicha Mechira? Well, it's easier to say it for Tzvicha Mechira in a way than it is for Tavra Vishasya. You might say Tavra Vishasya is significant only for the Karen, but Tzvicha Mechira is significant beyond the Karen. We know that. So to say that it's an extension of Kefel, but it goes through the whole process again, is if you hold that the Ram believes that in Tavra Vishasya, it's certainly easier to say it in Tzvicha Mechira. Particularly this becomes important for Rashi, I would say, this chiluk, because Rashi himself seems to reject the impact of Tavra Vishasya on Kefel. Which Rashi? In the Sugya? Darren? Yosef? Michael? Joe? Which Rashi am I talking about? Noah?
The Rashi that was about
Say that again?
The Rashi in our daf was about it.
Which daf is our daf? We were on between Samach Hay and Samach Vav at the moment.
Yeah. Earlier, you was about the daf
Hay. Amid Aleph or Amid Beis?
Amid Aleph.
Yeah?
Yeah, he says,
Oh, you mean because he used the words kagazel?
Yeah.
You're the shitaska. Okay, but I told that, so that doesn't impress me. The reason that doesn't impress me is just because the Gemara uses that expression. So that's you can't. There's not much to do with Rashi. What?
Well, I mean,
the Gemara Bava Metzia. Right. I mean, last time you raised it was for a different point.
Right.
That was right. So, but it's the same answer. Meaning that anybody uses the word kagazel in the context of Tavra Vishasya, and he's not specifically talking about this issue. Doesn't impress me. Because that's the lesson of the Gemara.
Here he's talking about a context of Geneva, whereas the Gemara there was talking about
okay. True. But again, it's a quotation. I mean, he's explaining that is what Rashi's doing. He's explaining the Gemara in Hamavkid, which speaks about Gzela. That doesn't the fact that somebody quotes a Gemara accurately is refreshing. I don't think it's a problem. But there is another Rashi. Which one, Michael? Correct. No, I think the next one, Kain Shaganov. Why do you get it from Nasa Shinu Biyadu
Vakano? Because where he notes that the Kefel of Kain Shaganov of Shasamad Adin.
Oh, he says, well, okay, that's about Shinui. Yeah, it is relevant, I guess, but the next one I think is clear. Kain Shaganov, Lekaman Osvino Larav, Mehad Amar Tashume Kefel Dal Beka Shasamad Adin. Ularab Adamar Tavro Shasim, Mishalim Dali, Kadahashta Lekala Suve, the Yachal Shnuye, the Hachmas Nita. Kefal dalad vehei dafke nokat. Avol keren eched ashkach ki hashto mishalim. So that Rashi seems to be saying, we'll get to it more fully, but Rashi seems to be saying that Tavra Vishasya is not a problem. Tavra Vishasya is about the keren. It's not necessarily of anything to do with the kefal. Right? So the, and certainly other Rishonim hold that way as well. That Tavra Vishasya, but I think Rashi is pretty clear, that Tavra Vishasya, if you want to say, in light of that, he's comfortable quoting the Gemara as is, maybe, but I'd say quoting the Gemara as is not particularly noteworthy.
Can we say that that's because when the Gemara on Samachem Aleph ends up Kifam Rav, it's saying that Rav's statement about Dalet Vehei is from the Drasha of Karen,
Achille Karen.
But when it comes to Karen, Kain Shaganov, that's more of a Knas point, like quoting Ispa or something.
I'm not sure what you're trying to say right now. What are you trying to explain?
That Rashi Shita develops from
I don't. What do you mean Rashi Shita develops? All the Rashi, is Rashi Shita problematic? I'm just pointing out from Rashi, let me step back a minute. We start off with Tosas Rin. Then we went to the Rashi and Samachesan base and the Pnei Ashur, which is an interesting discussion about the relationship between Kefal and Dalet Vehei. Different Shitas. In that context, one of the things I was trying to suggest was that if Kefal plays a more important role within Dalet Vehei, in terms of Dalet Vehei, working off of the Kefal, or maybe even creating its own Kefal, so that might explain some of these issues. It might explain Rashi. I said, how could there be this idea? Do we have any precedent for it? This idea that an act which, out of the context of Geneva, would be considered a Gzela, and yet within the context of Geneva, right? might be it not only a secondary gneva, but a secondary gneva with its own keifa. Do we have such a phenomenon? So Jakey said correctly, yes, we do. It seems like that is Shitas HaRambam in Perek Aleph Halacha Yudalid, who says that Tavra Vishasya, you pay kefel kishas hamada bedin, right? Which seems to be kishas hatavra vishasya. That's what the Rambam understands it. Correct? Okay. So then I said, however, should we say this for Rashi or not? Well, does Rashi hold like the Rambam regarding Tavra Vishasya, that the Kefel is affected by Tavra Vishasya? So then I'm pointing to the Rashi on Samachemud Beis. It seems no. It seems that Tavra Vishasya is limited to Karen. Is that a difficult sheet in Rashi? Not at all. Now, what I'd just like to add, though, is even if you say that generally for Tavra Vishasya, one could be Mechalek, Misvara, say, but Tvicho Mechira, for the same very same reason that it's Mechayev Dalet Vehei, that should be considered its own Geneva. And therefore, that would be an exception to this Rashi. And to explain the Rashi in Samachem and Chesed and Beis, I think that makes sense. That's all I'm saying.
Rashi himself on Samachem and Aleph seems to link Tvicho Mechira, that the discussion of Tvicho Mechira is.
Tavra Shasya? No. He just mentions.
It's Gabi.
Right. Okay, I didn't understand that's bothered. Okay, so this is very important. These are important issues. Very important issues. Okay, just to mention, Derech Agav, the Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel says that, just something similar to this, just one point. There might be another way to, another point in Rashi, that's I wanted to mention. And that is, I don't miss mention one other thing. The Rabbeinu Chananel and Chazar Keren Labailim, I mentioned already that the Gemara in Samach Chesed Beis has this idea that if you somehow get the Keren back, you know, before the Gemar Din, like for example, the guy allows you, both of you agree to Machdish the Chefet, so the Keren is now Hekdesh, but with the approval of the Bailim, it's a case of the Gemara. So that's a case of Chazra Keren Labailim, and there's no Chi of Kefel because of. So we already mentioned that some people think, oh, that proves that Kefel is created by another Shaschova, not the Maisa Gneva, not Hamara Bedin, but the time when the Ganav is brought to court, when he's found. Or no, that's some other halacha, and what is that halacha based on, and so on. Okay. So it's interesting to note that the Rabbeinu Chananel, it's you can find it in the Otzer Agonim. Rabbeinu Chananel says that the din of Chazra Keren Labailim is only in a case of Hekdesh, of Hikdesh. It's not an example; it's the only case, and there really is no din of Chazra Keren Labailim per se. The real halacha is that it's based on L'Re'eu V'lo Shel Hekdesh. I just wanted to bring that up in connection with the Rashi. L'Re'eu V'lo Shel Hekdesh. But the truth is, one could ask a similar question as the Pnei Yeshua asked against Rashi. Right? Namely, what do you mean L'Re'eu V'lo Shel Hekdesh? After all, there's a Chiyuv Karen, there was a Chiyuv, at the time of the Geneva, there was a Chiyuv Karen, the Kefa L'Bailim. So it appears that the Rabbeinu Chananel holds that Bailus Le'inyan Kefel, maybe that's the answer to the Gemara, that Bailus Le'inyan Kefel is defined by the Hamada Bedin. And if Bishas Hamada Bedin, the object belongs to Hekdesh, then even if there was a previous Chiyuv Kefel, in theory, since it isn't really a Chi of Kefal, because Hamada Bedin is Koveya, that's considered still a Ptura of Re'eu V'lo Shel Hekdesh. Okay, so I just wanted to bring that to your attention. That's something to be aware of. Okay, let's move away from Dalet V'hei for a moment and get back to Kefal itself. Okay, so firstly, let's go back to Kefal. Firstly, I wanted to mention the Or Sameach that Yoni brought to my attention. Yoni, go ahead.
that the
Pia Peta from
the
Mother of the Din. Oh,
you know the Pia, sure. But the Maisa of Geneva continued up until the Mother of the Din. As long as the Ganon settled onto the Tatsa and returned to the Mother of the Din, that's the continuation of Maisa of Geneva.
Right, this is very, firstly, he says this for the Rush, which is a little strange, but the Or Sameach has a different take on the Rush. Harush kos of the Chalik ben Kefel the Dalad Vehe. The Tama Mishum de Kefel Mechuyav al Maisa Hagneva. Ulakach Maisa Hagneva Nimshach Adayin Ad Shas Hamada Bedin. Kach Tziv Satora Lishaer Kefi Shas Hamada Bedin. Avalokain Tvicha Lachar Tvicha Sulo Nimshach Siba Sachiyu. This is very interesting. Basically, what the Or Sameach seems to be saying is similar. He's saying about Kefel something that is very similar to what we were saying for Abin Yonason about Karen, right? Which is again that the Mechayiv is the Ben. And therefore, until you destroy the ban, or as long as the ban exists, which if the ban exists is till a hamada bedin, that's the zman achiyuv. So the continuation of gneva goes until the kilui haben, and that's what the Rush meant when he said, but not in tvicha mechira. That doesn't seem like the pshat in the Rush, as we already discussed. It sounds like the Rush is saying tvicha mechira is the mechayiv of Dalad Vehe. That's according to the Or Sameach, the issue shouldn't be Tvicho Mechira, the issue should be whenever you destroy, right? Whenever you destroy the Be'en. Anytime you destroy the Be'en, according to the Or Sameach, it should never be B'Shas HaMada B'din. It should be at that moment, because that's the moment of Kilui HaBe'en. So I don't think it's a good pshat in the Or Sameach. The language of the Rush, makes it perfectly clear that Dalad Vehe is generated by Tvicho Mechira, and that's what makes it a critical moment. But the Or Sameach is very, very interesting. For him, Hamada Bedin is not a din in Bezdin. It's the exact opposite. It's a din in the Maisa Gneva, which he makes perfectly clear. But according to him, then we have to explain the other way. Why is Karen Kain Shaganav? Because now, you know, if you really, in a way, you have to say one of the following things. Either like Rabbeinu Yonason itself, that's the Gzeres HaKasuv, Achila Karen Kain Shaganav. The rule would have been, had it not been Gzeres HaKasuv, logic would have dictated that you pay Kashas HaMada B'din. Or that you have to distinguish again between the Be'en and the Tashlumen, like we've been distinguishing. That in this case the Kefel is the one with the greater flexibility. You know, Kefel is more dependent upon the Be'en, therefore as long as there is a Be'en, there is no Mechayiv. That works nicely actually with what we've been saying about Kefel all along, Davrshin and Mesuyam, and we're going to revisit that again in a few minutes. But the more we look at Kefel, not just as a Knas and double Tashlumin, but as relating to the Maisa Hotzaas, Netilas HaBe'en, and even relating to the value of the Be'en, or the Zman when there no longer is a Be'en, or the different Perushim of Davar Mesuyam, and so on, and the Havaminas of the Gemara, which kind of Heftza, and so on. So to say that, you know, Karen is also about the value. What's unique about Kefel is Dafka the Be'en, and therefore, as long as the Be'en is still the Heshev is like Zeilash or Gazal, it's an open and a continuous Gneva. As long as you continue to hold on to it, that too is Gneva Linyan Kefel. But the Chiyuv Tashlumin is Miyad. You have to say, I think, something, just 1 second, something along those lines. But as I say, I don't think this works for the Rush. I think it's just an interesting perspective in the Or Sameach. Yeah.
Sorry, I think one could say that with simple that the with Mechayiv the Karen is Lekichas Haben, which is Abayim. The Kefel the Chiyuv is with Mechayiv is the Achsagas Haben. And one could formulate that in terms of longer than Maisa Gneva, but what we're not saying is that it's the whole thing is considered Maisa Lekichas Haben, which gives you.
No. I think that's what I just said. It's holding on to what's mechayiv and kefel, which is why it continues, is the fact that you're holding on to it.
Right, so therefore it's not a question of...
As opposed to, there's the Maisa Lekicha, which is for the Karen, that generates a Tashlum in Miad. Well, that relates to the Ben...
So you don't have to put it in terms of Tashlum versus Ben.
Right, it could also relate to the Ben, or it could be that's why you have a Chi of Tashlum in, or it could be either way.
But
the point is that that's frozen at that point, because that's the Maisa, whatever it is.
Right,
but holding on to the ban, not returning it, suppressing it, that's really connected to the kefal, and therefore, as long as that continues, that becomes the. I think that's
what I. Well, but then you have to put it in terms of tashlumin or ban.
No, I think you could do either one. I think right. You either could say that tzchiluk is tashlumin or ban, or if you within ban, whether or not it is the lekichas ban or the haksakas ban, which is the last thing that we were saying. Okay, that's in terms of the. That's an interesting and important important or sameach. Okay, now. The question is, how does all this work? L'maskanas ha-sugya. Right. So the Gemara's conclusion was Tle k'demikara and damim k'dahashta. Okay. Actually, no. Just to read over, if you don't mind, let's have Shlomo. Fine. Just the relevant parts, and then we'll fill in the rest later. But getting back, so we have these few interesting lines in the Gemara, which really have to be understood a little better. Number one, Samachei Amud Aleph, very quickly. When the Gemara originally challenges, right? Amar Rav Sheshes Amina Kinayim V'Shachav Rav Amar L'Hashmai Tzadatanya Chusha V'Shmina. Go ahead. Yeah, I just want to pick out a few lines of the Gemara that are relevant to this question of the Shas Tashlumin of Kefal. Go ahead. Meaning, so what's the problem? And it's not kashas hamada bedin. This is a case of kechusha v'hishmina. Okay, Amri. Yeah. So what do you make of this? So this is, I mean, how do you explain this? How does this, how do you understand this? So basically the Gemara has an exception to Rav, because Rav should be Amara B'din. The Gemara says, but we see that when it's Hishmina, that it's not so. So the Gemara says, Ana Patimna, the Ad Shaklis. So is that obvious? I mean, it's a good answer, an obvious answer. They shouldn't have even asked the question. Is it a problematic answer? Confusing answer? How do you, I'm just saying, trying to isolate some of the factors in the Gemara. As we spent time, till now we've explained different perspectives on Kashas Hamada Bedin for Kefa, right? Because it's a Bezin's Mechayiv, it's a Din and Shuma, it's a Xeris HaKasuv, according to the Ar Samech, it's the most natural halacha in the world. I'd say four perspectives, at least. Right? And it's all caught up, which is why we spent a couple of days on Kefa and a couple of days on Dalet. Hey, it's all caught up in a bigger question, maybe. That is, you know, how does Kefal work? How does Dalet V'Hey work? Etc. But now let's just look at a few lines in the Gemara where this is challenged, where the Gemara says maybe it isn't Hamada B'din, maybe it's Kashas Hagneva. So one way is, Ana Patimna, the At Shaklis, that's one explanation of why it would be an exception.
Right.
So how do you understand that?
Well, I mean, it seems to make sense. Because if the Banav is making it better than the owner himself did, why should he stay better?
So what would we call this? A taina.
Yeah.
Right? A taina bialma. In other words, basically, this is an exception to the rule, a real exception, meaning the rule of Hamada Bedin should apply, but this application would be unjust. Right? And that factor overturns this application. Okay, but it doesn't really challenge the rule or the principle of Kashas Hamada Bedin. You agree?
Yes.
Okay. And Tosus discusses this, right? Tosus says, just really good Tosus very quickly. Meleha, right? Right, Tosis is really asking this question. Tosis is saying, if this is a taina, but it's not the physical change in the animal per se, it's not really part of the rule, it's just an exception, then there's more than one, then the rules would apply not only to Yukur Vizula. It would also apply natural growth of the animal. Because just because the animal grows naturally is not a reason not to say Kshasa Mada Bedin. So you would say Kshasa Mada Bedin even in natural growth, natural physical growth, not just in fluctuating prices. The only time you wouldn't say it is if Yosher, it's not fair, the guy worked so hard, he shouldn't be penalized for the good that he did. Okay. Good. Mio Lefi Emes. Yeah, so this is, he's already foreshadowing, this is Shitas Ari. I just want to point out that this is the Ri. Basically, the Ri is saying there could have been two ways to learn the Gemara. Anak patim naviat kashaklis. One is it's a taina, in which case mispatma me'aleha goes with yukur vizula. Or one could have said that this is foreshadowing the coming Gemara. It's not unapatim naviat shaklis, meaning, you know, I did such good. Here I am, the ganav, but you know, I'm a benevolent ganav. I'm a constructive ganav. You know, and therefore I should be, you know, shown a certain measure of respect. It's unapatim naviat shaklis, meaning there's something more basic that's being argued here, namely, this is not the chetza, there's no tziruf between the tashlumim and the gneva. Which, as we'll soon see, we'll read in just a minute, there's another way of saying, im ein gneva, ein tvicha u'mechira. Okay. In which case, we would understand better why the Gemara says that the exception is yukur bezula, rather than nispatma me'aleha. Because if the problem is one of tziruf to the mice, to the zman of the gneva and to the chefza gneva, right, then it doesn't matter whether it's al yidei shinui, whether it's al yidei maisa or it's meileha. Okay, understood?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one line of the Gemara. And what about the other line? Keep going. So Toshma Shmina v'ikrisha. You have the opposite case where he's a destructive ganav, right? Yeah.
Yeah. One other possibility is mechalik. If we're doing mechalik, is when the Hishmin versus Hushman, what could be called kinder,
Shinu Kone. Yeah, we'll get to that.
Or
we'll get to that in a second. Go ahead. Could continue. Toshma. Oh. So that's a really strange line in the Gemara. And it's just a question, what does that mean? So here we should just note that Rashi has a funny, funny line that Tosis rejects. Maybe we'll get back to it, but probably not today. But what does Rashi say? Shlomo?
He says, Tilkach me hishaisa de achafisha asalta la tfifa. That the minute you began to damage it, it was like you were starting to slaughter.
Right. So at least Tosis understood that what Rashi meant was that this is a reference to tvicha o mechira. Number one, it's strange. What does tvicha o mechira have to do with anything? As Tosis themselves point out, you know, it could be that you're machishit, and that doesn't mean that you're going to be do tvicha to it. Right? It could be that it's going to die, or you're going to kill it. And it's not going to be tvicha. And it's have nothing to do with chayiv dalad vehei. That's point number one. And even if you happen to end up doing tvicha, why should you consider this tchilas tvicha when it could just as well not be tchilas tvicha? Which is a very good question, if that's indeed what Rashi had in mind. More to the point, maybe, Tosfos doesn't ask this, and if it was tvicha, so what? What?
Rav's din is completely the opposite.
Rav's din
is completely the opposite. That if
it's tvicha, it should be kshasa mada bedin. One would think it should be, it certainly can be kshasa mada bedin. Because tvicha u mechira is also kshasa mada bedin. Not just kefel. It's kefel dalad vehe kshasa mada bedin. So Rashi is very peculiar, if that's what Rashi has in mind. How does Tosa understand it? So there are two days in Tosas here also, just to note. The first one is, you can either read it if you want, or you don't have to read it. Just you can say it outside because we were. First, he rejects Rashi, and then he says, "No, the pshat here is two words. Yeah, shinui kone. Now, the Gemara has in mind, malikatali kula, malikatali palga, this is tchilas shinui kone. So with this, Tosus introduces, I mean, Tosus understands that the Gemara introduces an important new factor. Namely, that shinui kone affects kefel. That shinui kone affects the be'en. That we know, of course, there's no kiev hashava anymore. We're going to discuss that more fully. That's not our next topic, but the one after. Right, and sabbath Lord, once we clear some of these other things out of the way, right, that's what we're going to discuss. Shinui kone, how does it work? When does it work? How does it work? So on. But that shinui kone should affect kefel or dalet v'hei, that is not a davar pashut at all. After all, shinui kone refers to the be'en. Why should the be'en, status of the be'en, dictate the valuation, the shuma of the kefel and the dalet v'hei, which are multiples, right? Yet according to the first day of Tosis, malikatala kula, malikatala palga, that's exactly what's happening here, with an added chiddush. And that is, it's not just shinui kone that affects kefel dalet v'hei. It is tchilas shinui kone. Unless, here it's a bit of a question, what does the Gemara mean? Mali katala kula, mali katala palga. Does the Gemara mean that katala palga is already shinui? Or does it mean betoras tchilas shinui? If it's tchilas shinui, it's even bigger chiddush. Okay. That's one day in Tosis. What's the second day of Tosis?
The idea that by dalet v'hei, you can go from the beginning part of it, not...
Tosis says it's like the din of Ein L'shchita Ela B'Sof.
Right.
And yet, you evaluate Tvicho Mechira by the second before.
Right. So here, we're evaluating by the second before the Nafkamina.
Oh. But according to that view, Tosis says the Nafkamina will be, it doesn't have to be Shinui Kona. So then it's going to be only biyadayim, right?
The hafashim meila.
Yeah, do you have that line?
The last line. Ani mili l'kwan milse d'raf b'hafashim meila.
Ela basar mikol lefi tamza hadamatzi le'ukme milse d'raf b'hukhasha mimela. If it's shinui kone, then it doesn't matter whether it's hikrish b'adayim or hukhasha mimela. But if it's the other way, so what is that about?
Well, if your kone didn't damage it, then
you go to the second before, but it's only if you do it b'adayim. So it's obviously not b'din shinui kone. We're talking about even in a case where there is no shinui. That's not what the Gemara is operating with. So what is this halakha? It's hard to know. I'm not sure myself. What does it seem like it is?
Seems like a function of attributability. Seems like a function of attributability.
Attributability? By what do you mean by that?
In other words, and you also
might
get the same impression by
Anabasim Devash HaKlas. So is it like what we said
before about the first? In other words, if they're saying it's a Taina Ba'alma, I think it's a...
It is a kind of a Taina, though.
More specific form of a Taina.
Yeah. Well, Taina Ba'alma, I didn't mean that it didn't have merit. I meant it's an exception as an exception. It's not an exception that proves the rule. And you're saying the same thing, basically. Yeah, I think that is the correct way to interpret it well. The second day of Tosis is basically saying, this isn't shinui kone, this is a taina. Just like there's a taina that, you know, actually it's a stronger taina. The taina that I'm a constructive ganav and I shouldn't be penalized for my constructive behavior is a pretty good argument, right? But on the other hand, you're a ganav. Okay. But what about the argument that I'm a destructive, nasty ganav and I shouldn't be rewarded for my additional nastiness? That's even a stronger argument, one would think. So that seems to be the second day of Tosis. Therefore, even if there's no shinui kone, you're going to pay for the second before. Okay, so it's a taina. Okay. So that's the Gemara until here. As for Rashi, maybe Rashi meant the second point, or maybe something else. Maybe we'll get back to it. Yeah.
Is it possible to reread the first approach of the Gemara as Shinoi Kona as well, after reading Tosos?
On a Patimna?
Yeah.
In theory, you could, but I mean, Tosos doesn't. But then it shouldn't make a difference whether or not it's Patimna or Nisbat Lameela. Tosis just goes further than that. Tosis says, I don't need Shinui Kona. If you're not going to make that distinction, Tosis says, then I might as well just go for Turi Gan V'minach, Dichra Gan V'minach. Right? But in Achanam, you could say that. Absolutely. In light of this, in light of that, you could say.
You could have had Avmina that the Shinui Maisa would be Kona, but not just the Shinui Shame, along those lines.
We'll get to that. But either way, doesn't really... If it's Midin Shinui, so then it just depends on those issues.
Even the Rashi is really discussing is Midin Kenyan, or saying even the
Rashi doesn't mention Kenyan at all.
Even the chilik between Hishmin and the Asim Mela would be based on purely Kenyan issues. It's just that would be Kona, would only be in this context is Hishmin, not Mela.
That makes more sense if we're talking about a Taina. If we're talking about an objective Shinui, then the quality of the Shinui should be more important than whether or not you affected it or not, right? We'll see that in Shinui Kona, but that's true. Yeah?
As we said a minute ago, I don't think this was that place to make sure that from like Tala Kuo, Malik Tala Valga, you already said that the Taina was B'Shem Megana, and why should I reward it? It's not that place. I assume the Taina requires that the Baal is Taina yet to Megana, not the...
Yeah, for sure. Of course. Right. Okay. So that's this line. These lines are the Gemaras. Either we have the exceptions are based on the Taina, or the exceptions are based on the role of either Shinui Kona or Tziruf to the Maisa Gneiva. If it's a question of Shinui Kona, I said that in itself still needs to be looked at. Either way, either these dinim need to be looked at, the connection to the Maisa Geneva and of Tziruf, or the issue of Shinui Kona. Okay. I'm going to skip a little in the Gemara, if you don't mind, Shlomo, just to get to the next relevant. I'm going to skip back, but we'll go back to it when we sum up, but I'm just going to fill in these blanks, hopefully, tomorrow and Thursday, and I want to finish off Tavar B'Shasya as well, at least before I go, so... Okay, what's the next point? Omar Abiloy, Gonav Tlev and Asa Ayel. The last of the small lines. And Samachem would base?
Yeah. Omar Abiloy, Gonav Tlev and Asa Ayel, Egil Nasa Shur, Nasa Shinu Yadu Bukhana. Tabukhumachar Shalom, Tobiach Shalom Machar.
Yeah.
So if it grows up after he steals it, then it was his
Kenyan,
and
Tfilah Mechira
is meaningless.
Yeah, okay. So that in itself, interesting point, but nothing to do with us yet, right? Right. Next line becomes important. Esvei.
Esvei Rafanina Lebebi Yilai. Ganav Tlev Vinasa Ayo, Egil Vinasa Shor, Mishan Tashmune Kepo, Tashmune Agag, Amisha, Ke'en Shigana. V'yis Al-Kedaita, Kenya Vishinui, Amai Mishalem, Shalom, Tobeach Shalom, Mokha.
Oh.
Amar le, ve'ela mai shinui lo koni, amai mishalim ke'im shigano, l'shalim kihashta.
Okay, so this is an important line. The Gemara says, if shinui is not kone, then amai mishalim ke'im shigano, l'shalim kihashta. So it sounds like the Gemara is saying explicitly that shinui kone, this idea that Tosis advanced, that Tosis put in the words, Malik Atala, first day of Tosis, Malik Atala, Kula Malikatala Palga, which is that Shinui Kona affects not only the Be'en but affects the Kefil as well, comes from this line of the Gemara. So it would seem the simple reading of this line of the Gemara is that this Gemara says it. If Shinui is not Kona, then why should you pay Kain Shaganav? L'shalem Kihashta. So is it a done deal? Is that a explicit Gemara? That Shinui Kona affects the Kefil? Or is there some way out of it? Because it's an important implication that Shinui Kona should affect the kefil, right? So that's why I'm trying to be vigilant about it and see what the Gemara says, what it doesn't say, what the Rishonim say. Okay, let's just read one more line of the Gemara, then we'll get back to it. Omale.
Omale ki hashda hainu time as the low mishali mishum da omale Torah gambi mimach, ticho gambi mimach. He'll make a taina that why should I beg now? I didn't steal a full grown thing from the right till a baby one.
Oh, Omale.
Omale rahmana nitzlan mehai.
That's when you overhear the expression, you know, when you're growing up, and they say, "Ah, Rachmana, that's it." Okay, Rachmana the son Mahay Daita. Yeah, what do you think about that conversation? Okay, that was like a very like productive. Okay, well, you can see the frustration, I guess. Okay, okay, good. So what's going on here? So the Gemara introduces Turagon v'mimach, Turagon v'mimach, Dichragon v'mimach. Okay. Even if Shinu is not Kohen. So what does it mean? Tziruf. It has to do with Tziruf to the Maisa Gneva. Correct? That's where this Gemara, this idea comes into play. And we'll see in a minute, that's how the Re interpreted the final Maskana of Tleka de Mikara, Damim Kedahashta. Okay. But what happened to Shinui Kona in the meantime? So it depends on the 2 days in the Gemara. Now it doesn't sound, again, simple reading of the Gemara is debating whether or not Shinui is Kona or not. In reading the Gemara, one certainly could have said that either way, everybody will agree that if Shinui is Kona, that affects the issue of Kefel Keshasa Mada Bedin. Right? That's a simple reading of the Gemara. But it's not Muchrach anymore. Because we now have the option of saying that basically the Gemara, the Mandamar who says Turigon v'mimach, maybe he'll say, and even if Shinui had been Kona, who said it would affect Kefel. There's a simple reading of the Gemara, the Shaklavatari, it sounds like it does. The only debate is whether you need Shinui Kona. That Shinui Kona affects Kefel is Vadai. Whether even if Shinui ain't a Kona, you could still have Turigon v'dichragon v'minach, Turigon v'minach. That's a machlokas. That's, I don't like your svara. Well, I don't like your svara either. Right? Okay. But what I'm saying is, in light of the conversation, it is possible to say, I could tack you on that, but there's no point. Because even if Shinui were to be Kona, that's not the halacha here. It has to be Bidin, Dichra Gan V'minach, Tura Gan V'minach, because what does Shinui Kona have to do with Kefel? That could be another way to read the Gemara. Or there could be one other way out of all this. And that is, when the Gemara says that it depends on Shinui Kona or not, the Gemara means because Shinui Kona is directly responsible for Kefel Keshasa Mada Bedin, or this is what Tosfos Beinu Peretz says, that's not what the Gemara meant. Rather, the Gemara seems to say that Shinui Kona affects Kefel. The only question is whether the 2 days in the Gemara are arguing about that point or not. The simplest reading of the Gemara is that it affects Kefel, and that's not what they're arguing about either. They're arguing whether or not, even if Shinui's not Kona, there isn't another way to affect Kefel through the argument of Turagon v'minach. Correct? However, and since I'm obviously bothered, not just me, but some of the Rishonim, are bothered by the effect of Shinui Kona on Kefel, so we're just looking to see whether there's some other way to understand the evidence. So, number one, I'm saying, maybe the Mandamar who says Shinui Eino Kona might tell you that Shinui Kona wouldn't help you here either. A. B, even according to that line in the Gemara, the reading of the Gemara, that Shinui Kona, is it possible that it's not Shinui Kona per se, but something else? Is there a way to really neutralize the line? Exactly. That's what Tosfos Beinu Peretz says. Very important. Tosfos Beinu Peretz says the Gemara never thought that, in fact, Shinui Kona affects the Kefo. Why should Shinui Kona affect the Kefo? But if Shinui is Kona, then we'll say Turagon v'mimach. And then the Mother Mandamar says, and the conversation between them isn't, that's the way we understand it normally, the simple reading of the Gemara is that basically one Mandamar says Turagon v'mimach, and the other guy says, that's not going to help you. The only thing that would help you would be Shinui Kona. And what about the Mandamar who says Turi Ganvi? We're just not sure if he says, well, both of these things would help you, even Turi Ganvi, or only Turi Ganvi, but Chini Kona per se wouldn't help. What Tosfos Beit Peretz adds to the equation is he rereads the first line of the Gemara. The Gemara never thought, according to anybody, that Shinui Kone, the Kinyan of Shinui Kone, affects Kefel and Dalad Behe. How could it? It's about the Be'en. Kefel and Dalad Behe are multiples. What the Gemara meant was, the Gemara thought, in this Svara of Tura Ganvi Mimach, or Minach, and this Svara of Tura Ganvi Minach, you need to say Shinui Kone. Because if you don't hold Shinui Kone, then you don't believe that Panim Chadashas Ba'u Lekan, you don't believe that the continuity between the Chafza has been disrupted sufficiently for Kenyan. Maybe that's not just a Kenyan halacha. Maybe that reflects on how you look at the Chafza itself. It's a shiur in the Tziruf. If there's Tziruf enough that it's not a new Kenyan, in terms of the continuity of what it was and what it is, so then it's not Turi Ganvi Mimach either. Anybody have a line in Tosfos Beit Peretz?
I just saw it.
Okay, so that's very, very important. According to that view, there is no din of Shinui Kone per se. The whole discussion of Shinui Kone is only an issue, a shiur in Shinui. And that's, of course, important for Shinui in general. Rashi here also seems a little bit Nasi Shinui Biyada Vekano. Rashi says, Bishinui Laha Milsa. And then he says, "Upater midalad behe, aval keren the kefel mishalem keren kihashta the kefel kein shaganav o kishas hamada bedin." Okay, this is an interesting Rashi, right? The one you quoted, but for something else. What is Rashi saying? That even if you hold shinui kone, it's still quite possible that you would pay kishas hamada bedin. Would be which payment you use?
He's foreshadowing his understanding later of Talan Kamiyakara. Meaning, depending on how.
Oh, maybe. I'm not sure about that. Very good. Very good. Very good. I think that's very possible. That's possible. Either Rashi is foreshadowing. Two things are possibly happening in this Rashi. Either Rashi here is acknowledging his discomfort with Shinui Kone affecting the Kefel. At least he wants to say that's not such a Davar Pasha. That's not Mekubal, which is the way I'm interpreting it right now. Or, and absolutely 100% agree, or this Rashi has to be read in anticipation of the Rashi coming up, of Tlek and Mikar, Dam and Kedahashta, where Rashi, you know, tells you that, you know, even, that you know, there are two perspectives, there are two paths to Tashlumin at work here. But in Ochanami, if you take one, then Shinui Kone really is for sure going to, because there are two ways to read Rashi. Very good. Yeah.
Doesn't Rashi just mean that he's not sure whether or not Rabbi Lai holds a Rab? I mean, he's just saying, I don't know if Rabbi Lai holds a Rab, so if he holds a Rab, then it's... You know,
okay, but either way, that's still acknowledging that Shinui Kone made, maybe for that reason, you mean.
I mean,
outside of Rab. Maybe.
Rab for sure,
Maybe. Either way, though, it's acknowledging that you can hold Shinui Kone and it cannot affect the Kefem. That's what I'm most interested in. Okay. The Rabbeinu Yonason also in Shita Mekubetzes also says explicitly that Shinui Kone does not affect the Kefa. Okay. Rambam, on the other hand, seems to say that Shinui Kone does affect the Kefa. It is Kein Shaganav, right? It's Bar Mimela, according to the Rambam, but it's not clear that it's within Shinui Kone. Okay.
Where is Rabbeinu Yonason?
Those are in the parents?
Yeah.
I thought he said it... on Samach Vav Amud Aleph, but if you can't find it, I'll look for it later. I just don't want to spend the time a second. Didn't you say you saw it a minute ago?
Talks about Shinui Kone, but it doesn't say exactly what Rebbe said, but it could be a different Tosfos Beit Peretz.
Oh, okay. Look at it. If you don't find it, I'll look for it. I just don't want to. I have it in my marked up one, but I.
Rebbe, something the fact that he invokes that concept right after having spoken about
Shinui Kone is only that the Shinui Kone is a shear on the Shinui rather than being a din in Shinui Kone.
Right.
Not at some time when it's also been apparent.
Oh, not the fact that he invokes Torah Bavi Menach right after.
I think that that's what he means. Yeah, I think he says explicitly that it's okay. Good. Now, what if we do think that Shinui Kona works? Again, the simple reading of the Gemara does. I just went out of my way to show Rashi's not so happy with it on Samach Eimed Beis. But just to sum up, it could be that Shinui Kona are already on Samach Eimed Aleph. That's 2 days in Tosis. Good. On Samach Eimed Beis, Shinui Kona is explicit in the Gemara. But what we have with that is two things. Number one, when the Gemara says Shinui Kona, is it Shinui Kona per se, or is it Shinui Kona as a shiur in the Shinui? And then about Machlokas in the Gemara is when you say Tura Gonda Mimnach or not? Okay. Even if you hold that when the Gemara says Shinui Kona, it means Shinui Kona literally, directly, not just as a shiur in the Shinui, this next question becomes, is that goof of the Machlokas? Is it only one directional Machlokas? Everybody agrees Shinui Kona will work. Question is, what about Tura Gonda Mimnach if you hold Shinui not being Kona, or the Mandamar says Shinui Eina Kona will also tell you that Shinui Kona is irrelevant. Okay. Either way, it's always possible to say that the transition in the Gemara, if there is a transition, comes on Shlomo just read now Samach Vav Amud Aleph, on Samach Vav Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says, I'm just chopping up the Gemara to make it better organized. Lematava to Yufta de Rav. Oh, I'm sorry. Avalinian Shlu. One second. Right? Akala Pligi. Oh, the Mar Savar. Go ahead. Shinikona. Okay, so that's the punchline. That's the final line. So now there are at least three interpretations of that line. So again, one possibility is that here's where the Gemara drops Shinui Kona, if it does. Right. Or there's two is within Shinui Kona. We'll have to see. So let's talk about these three interpretations for now. So the first one, which we started to discuss yesterday, was Rashi. Let's leave Rashi aside for the moment. Let's discuss Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri first, because that's easier, given what we've already done. Okay, let's start with the Ri. The Ri is what was foreshadowed already on Tosas on Samach Eimed Aleph, namely. Correct. And here, the Ri invokes the thief. Now the question would be, okay, good, according to the Ri, there are two perspectives, right? Which is, getting back to my question from before, which is the exception, which is the rule? Or is that no longer a fair, question? That's when we had Anapatimna, Vi'at Shaklas, or Malikatala Kula, Malikatala Kalga, according to our understanding of the second day of Tosas. We're saying those are Tainas Bialma. Meaning, he's not going to benefit, and he's not going to benefit from his increased nastiness. He's not going to suffer from his constructive behavior. Correct? But in Ochanami, the rule is Shasa Mada Bedin. We're just adjusting it for Yosher, for the sake of justice. But are we saying that when we say Kleh Kedem Ikar Adam and Kedahashta? Is there also an exception and a rule, or this is all part of the rule? How does it work? And if so, what is the ruler, or how do we understand the exceptions? So the Ri's view is there's a difference between a physical change and a Yukra Vezula change. Question is, which one is Ikar? Or are these two different? It's not two different B'chaivim, probably. Right? They're just two different reasons why there's a discrepancy, right, between the Hashta and the Mi'ikara. One reason is because of the physical change, another reason because of market changes. Okay? But then on the surface, what's going on? So if you look at Tosas, what impression do you get, Shlomo, from Tosas in the Ri? Tosas, Tosas Rabbeinu Peretz.
Seems like there's
two rules. Two rules, or it's one rule, but basically there are two requirements. There are two aspects, though. I wouldn't say there are two rules, but there are two aspects, two dimensions. One is tashlumin, shuma. When it comes to shuma, that's kashas amada bedin. When it comes to, but shuma on what? And this is how they understand tura ganva mima, dichra ganva, tura ganva minach, dichra ganva minach. Meaning, shuma is all fine and well if you're talking about the chefta shel gneva. So then, the ideal time for shuma is amada bedin. As long as you're talking about a chetzah shel gneva. But if you're not talking about the chetzah shel gneva, then what are you being mishayer? That seems to be the pshat in the read. So there are two different issues here. If anything, I would say the tura ganda mimach is the main halacha, meaning we're not going to make you pay kefel other than for the chetzah that you kind of chetzah that you stole. Correct? And that's why the Ri uses the expression, just read it very quickly, the Ri in Tosas. Kalim Kanimikara?
Near the Ri, Dafi Perush, Delanian, Tlev, and Asa Isle, Okahusha, Vinis, Padma, O, Vitzal, the Shalem, Kaysal, Nami, Vitain, Dal, Vahay, Kanimikara, Mo Karen, Aval, Dumming, the Hainu, Yukur, Zula, Shal Asha, Shaman, Oso Tlev, Shal Shas Kneba, the Kabuso, O Kabuso, Shahaya, the Shas Kneba.
But you could end up having both, right? In other words, you have to measure the animal by what it was, and then you evaluate it by what size that animal would be in today's market. So it's not two dinim. It's not like Rashi. If you go this route, you'll pay this much. There are two elements, there are two dimensions that have to be considered here. One is the cheftza. The cheftza depends on the maisa gneva. And the other is shuma. Shuma always depends on the amada bedin. So if it's a if there's been a physical change in the animal and a fluctuation of the market, you'll apply both, right? You will evaluate in the present, right, according to the size of the past, and that proves it. You can have both. You can have shas amada bedin and kashas Hagneva at the same time. It's not alternatives like Rashi or like Rabbeinu Tam, as we'll see. Right? That's according to the Ri. It's not so much exception and rule as two different issues. What is the Cheftza? That depends on Shas Hagneva. Right? How do we assess? What is the best time for assessing value? Shas Amada Bedin. Okay, go ahead. The Tam and the Tlaim Mishum. Yeah. Where are you stopped off? Mishum d'amalei turagon v'mimech v'hu adin k'chusha v'yishmina. We no longer need to say anapatimna, right? D'amalei shmeina gon v'mimech. Aval, go ahead. That's a very intriguing idea. Tosa says it a few times, right? It says it also in Samachem and Aleph. I mean, one could have argued that, you know, that when it comes to animals, right, it's what do they call it? A cash cow, you know. So, yukra ganva mimech. Right? We would never say that when we go to what used to be called the zoo. We would never call somebody a walking, we would never say such a thing. But, why not? Yukra ganva mimech. Zula ganva mimech. That's what the Ri says. No. As a cheftza, money doesn't come into it. Money only comes into shuma. Very interesting. Again, one could have argued. Okay, go ahead. One could have argued in both directions. The more you look at kefel as something which is a total fabrication, one could perhaps have said, well, why do we really care? As long as there's any kind, as long as it's not shinui kone, it's not a different cheftza. Or even if there is shinui kone, right? As, you know, everything is kadashta. That would have been an extreme, but the Ri doesn't like that extreme. And one could have argued also in the other direction. Maybe everything depends on on replicating the forces, Bishaz Gneva. Maybe Yukar Vizula is also a kind of an identifying feature, Din of the Cheftza, cash cow. So the Rish says, no, I have a balanced view here. The Cheftza is the Cheftza, the Shuma is the Shuma. There's no such thing as, you know, Yukra Ganva Mina. Okay, go ahead. This is so beautiful because it's sort of inspiring. The Rish saying, we see this from the Psukim. The Psukim themselves, when they talk about Gneva, mention the Cheftza. They don't just look at it as money. They didn't translate everything into money. Which means two things. It means money is not a shear in the Cheftza, and the Cheftza is important, and that goes back to Shaz Gneva. What did you steal? Go ahead. V'darshina mina. Oh, he quotes that Gemara too. Right? One would have thought maybe it's only about Cheftzas. The answer is it's also about money, but it's not only about money either. Okay, just one more second. I'll take the question. Go ahead. Umishum. I say it's very inspiring. I mean, this is the Ri's own drasha in a way. Right? This doesn't say this in the Gemara. He's saying, oh, this idea that there are two dinim here is meduyak in the psukim. So you're allowed to do that if you do it well, if you're the Ri. Okay. The Afal Pish al Shas Tvicha, but you should be looking out for it. I mean, oh, now we understand the Psukim better. Afal Pish al Shas Tvicha, Ba Dalet Behe. This, of course, a response in a certain way to the Rush, or to the Tosefta, or to the Riva. Right? Tosas, you're saying, what about the Shas Tvicha and Mechira? So the answer is, now again, how extreme do you want to make this? It depends on our discussion of Dalet Behe. Now, on one level, we could say, well, Tosas here, in the most extreme, we could say Tosas is saying, Tvicha Mechir is just a Tanai, the Mechayiv is really the Geneva. Yeah, not necessarily. You don't necessarily have to go that far. You could say, even if Tvicha Mechir is the Mechayiv, but it's still the Cheftza Haganuv. Right? Now, again, if Tvicha Mechir is a new Geneva, would you still say that? Maybe even then, because it's only a new Geneva in framework of the old Geneva, which still needs Tziruv to the Geneva. So when we say Ein Tvicha, Ein Geneva, Ein Tvicha Mechira, it could be, you know, the most minimum, it could be the most maximum. But one of the things we were assessing the last couple of days is how strongly to formulate this idea of Ein Geneva, Ein Tvicha Mechira. Go ahead. Shemein Geneva. This is also very clear in the Ri that he is making the that you know the Shuma part, the Damim part is a Din in Shuma. It doesn't sound like it's a Din in, he's not emphasizing so much that Bezin is Mechayev, which is consistent. Bali Tosa didn't seem to be doing that in the whole sugya. But more that, Shas HaMarabin is a natural time for Shuma. But if I had to choose in the Ri, which is the Ikar, which is the, you know, more of the Tafo, relatively. Oh, you might say that for the Ri, you don't have to choose anyway. I say there are two dinim and they have, you know, not, they're both equally important. Right? What is the Cheftza? What is the Shuma? But on the whole, it seems the impression of Bali Tosa and Tosa Bene Parrots, to me at least, is that im ein gneva ein tvichel mechira, and im ein gneva ein kefel is the ikar. The shas hamad abedin is a din in shuma. For the Rush, who also holds like the Ri, even though he holds what he holds about tvichel, even though he holds what he holds about miboy moda mifta, the svara, it might be the opposite. It might be that the real halacha, because again, for him, shas tvichel mechira also is koveya for shuma. It's clear that that's the Mechayev. I would say for the Rush within the Ri, and he holds like the Ri basically, it's the opposite of the impression of Tosis. The real Mechayev is Hamad Bedin. And it's not just a Din in Shuma, that's the Zman Achiyuv. However, the Zman Achiyuv still relates to the Cheftza HaNignav, as we just explained. So that's why Tloim Kedem Ikara. But the real rule is Damim Kedahashta. Whereas in our Tosis, I think it's the opposite. Okay. Then comes Rabbeinu Tam. Excuse me. one more minute. I guess we'll leave Rashi and finish off for tomorrow. But what is Rabbeinu Tam Shita?
He builds up his idea that Rav is coming to strengthen Karen over Kippa. And he says that they're the same thing, but it's different cases. One case is where we move everything forward because we're weakening Kippa versus moving everything backwards. We're at 4-1 or 1-4.
Right. So Rabbeinu Tam is just totally different from the Ri in every way. It's just that we have to understand that. In other words, number one, he doesn't make any distinction at all between Yoker Vizula and physical change. For him, the issue is that's an irrelevant distinction. You could say Mali Yukra Gonva Minach. You could say that. Right. By the same token, what needs to be said according to Rabbeinu Tam is that there really are either two shows chiyuv, and you can choose which one you address, and you choose based on the kula. I think that's one way to explain Rabbeinu Tam. There are two shows chiyuv: the trigger time and the hamada bedin. You have to choose. You choose the lesser of the two. That's a knas policy. In knasos, which are by inherently chumra, you're always going to be mekel, not machmer. By the way, one could have said the opposite. You could have said it's the nature of a knas to be machmir, maybe we should be machmir, all things being equal, right? Or maybe that there should be an objective definition, and it's not a question of kula and chumra at all. There's a chiddush in Rabbeinu Tam, in that he thinks that, you know, that on the contrary, you're already machmir by virtue of a knas, and therefore you should be mekel within knasos. That's the policy, and there are two zmanei chiyuv here, and therefore you choose whichever is the kula. I think that's number one. But the other element of Rabbeinu Tam, as I said before, and Achya the Karen Kain Shaganav goes back to Tosas on Samech Ayam and Aleph, where Tosas says, doesn't the word Achya mean that the Karen is always higher? Right? So the Re said, no, Achya just means Lahashlin. But Rabbeinu Tam really holds that Achya means higher. You're right, the Karen is always higher than the Kefa. But it's not a din, like, it's not like, you know, my religion has to be higher than yours kind of thing. It's, if there are two prices, you're always going to go the lower one. In Kefal, that's the nature of the Knas. I think that's one way to explain it. But Yukra Bezula, as opposed to the Cheftza, irrelevant. It's Tura Gonva Minach, Dichra, that whole idea doesn't exist. Because Kefal is a later creation, it's a fabrication of Bezdin, so we don't really care. The rule of Imein Gneva, Imein Tvicho Mechira, when it comes to defining the Cheftza, that doesn't exist. Very important. I mean, Rabbeinu Tam rejects the Re totally. I think it's another way to explain Rabbeinu Tam. It's not so much there are two shows chiyuv and you pick the kula. There are two shows chiyuv and you need both of them, and therefore it's only the overlapping of the two. I think it's another way to explain Rabbeinu Tam. So let me finish with one last point, and that's the Rambam. The question is the Rambam's shita. The Rambam seems to hold in a way like the Re. But in any case, we understand Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with all aspects of the sensitivities of the Re. They're all out for Rabbeinu Tam. Just a din in Kefal. Rabbeinu Tam works much better if Kefal is not a Mechayev of Gneva, but a Mechayev of Bezdin. It doesn't have to be that way, but this whole idea of Kula, whatever it is, to Mechayevim, to Zmanechiyu, or maybe it depends on the two formulations I mentioned. The Rambam is a little difficult. On the one hand, the Rambam does seem to be Mechalik between Yukur Vizula and physical changes. If you look at Halacha Yud Gimel, I guess we'll pick up this tomorrow more fully, but if you look at Halacha Yud Gimel in the Rambam there talks about Yukur Vizula. And in Yukur Vizula, the Rambam seems to say, Keshas Hamada Bedin, like the Re. Right? When it comes to Halacha Yud Dalid, which is about physical changes, so there, the Rambam is Mechalik between Itvar Mimela and Tavra the Shasya. That's a problem. The question is, why should that be? So I think there could be more than one explanation. Let me just mention two very quickly. We'll pick up with this tomorrow. One is, maybe in that sense, the Rambam has one aspect of Rabbeinu Tam, or one shares one aspect of Rabbeinu Tam. That is, maybe the Rambam holds that the Kefel can never be higher than the Karen. And therefore, an itbar mimela, maybe that's a special halach, that's a halach. The kefal cannot be higher than the karen. As a multiple of the karen, it can never be higher than you're paying for the karen. Which itself is an important idea. That's not necessarily the idea of Rabbeinu Tam. I don't think the idea in Rabbeinu Tam is that the kefal can't be higher than the karen. I think the idea in Rabbeinu Tam is that if there are two possible kefels, you go for the lower of the two. For the Rambam, that's not the case, necessarily. But it's certainly not true in Yukra Vezula. But for the Rambam, the idea is you're not going to be paying more for the kefel than the keren. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that the Rambam holds, I think it's what Reb Chaim says, that whenever there is kilui habe'en, unless there's a separate mechayev of kefel at that moment through Tavra v'shasya, whenever there's kilui habe'en, there's no kefel. Or kefel then goes back to Shas Gneva. Why? Maybe for the same reason we just made a fuss, but we never got back to it. Shine Kona affects kefel or not? Simple reading of the Gemara, yes. Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, maybe not. Maskona, maybe not. 2 days on Samach Hayim and Aleph. What about after Samach Vavam and Aleph? Rabbeinu Yonason says no. Most Rishonim say yes. Rashi maybe has 2 days. What's that all about? Shine Kona is about the ban. But again, if kefel tracks the ban, if kefel requires at its moment the chefetz, that it be a chefetz haganuv, that's the difference between shinui kona and shinui not being kona. Is it a chefetz haganuv? So it could be that the Rambam shita is that that's true in general. If not true about shinui kona, certainly it's true about kilui. It's no longer the chefetz haganuv. Once it's no longer the chefetz haganuv, then you have to go back to the time when it was the chefetz haganuv. And all of that would highlight again the strong link between Kefel and the Mechayiv of Gneva Saban. Okay, we'll stop here, speak a little more about the Rambam and especially about Rashi and finish this up. And I want to try to then to go to Tavra V'Shasya first, and then we'll finish with Chomesh and Asham and those things. Finish up, and then we'll be up to Shinui Kona. Thank you.